Good morning, church.
Buenos días. Hallelujah. Again, so we are celebrating today Easter and the fact that Jesus is risen. Amen. Okay, so just put your hands together. It's okay to do it. Today we're going to have baptisms. Wow, yes. So you need to know that before coming to St. John, I used to baptize people almost every month. So you need to know that I've been here for 2 years and I'm suffering from PTSD. Something is, I'm about to baptize people that are already baptized. I don't care. You know, I just want to see people in the water. And that's the hope. My hope is that the church understand and receive. A church that is not celebrating baptism is a church that is dying. Doesn't matter how many people you have on the chairs, on the pews. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank account. If we are not having baptisms, we are dying as a church. So I'm super hopeful that today we're going to celebrate baptisms and we're going to see more and more and more baptisms. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go back to the scriptures and we're going to be reflecting on Luke 24, one of the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Let's say that to your neighbor. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Wow. He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, "The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remember his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, the apostles, to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanne, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Even today, men don't listen to women. That's a problem. That's an ancient problem, right? But at least one of them believed. Peter, however, got up and he ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what happened. He was, you know, just having this amazing experience at the crucifixion, and my hope is at the resurrection, and my hope is that you also keep this passion, this curiosity and excitement like that kid's screaming. You know, I hope that you really celebrate Easter, even though we celebrate it every year, that you don't lose that passion and that ability to believe and keep believing. Now, so today, this is Easter Sunday. We're celebrating the cornerstone of our faith, that this day changed our life and changed everything in the world forever. This is the foundation of our hope. It's a historical event. This is not a story or a drama. This is real historical event. Death was not the end. The grave could not hold him and cannot also hold us. And because of this, we too can now have eternal life. And as we reflect in the reflection of these witnesses and what happens in the meaning of the resurrection, my hope is that you leave this place excited. So the first step is in this sermon is the resurrection serves as a historical evidence of God's victory over sin and death. And as we believe this truth, that God has power over sin and death, it's just a reminder that God is not in the business of getting people sick. God is in the business of healing people. God is not in the business of getting people sad and imposing sadness. God is in the business of giving people joy. God is not in the business of killing people. Doesn't matter how many people die. God is in the business of giving life to people. And when we receive that, now we can now rejoice in the fact that God has victory over sin and death. When we recite the Apostles' Creed in the church, we declare that Jesus died on the cross, but he also descended into hell. And he took the keys of hell and the keys of death. And now we are free. And this is a powerful reminder that God is not in the business of sending people to hell. God will never send you to hell. Hell is not a place for you or me. God never intended for us to go to hell. God always is, in fact, doing everything within his power to free us from hell. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for me and you on the cross. And now we are free. If we go to hell, we go in our own terms because he also created us as free agents. We have this power and this right to decide between good and evil. Decide to obey the commandments or break the commandments. Decide to love God or hate God. Decide to live a moral life, a good moral life or not. That's the right that you have and the right that I have because God gave us this gift of free choice. Does that make sense? And we have to be wise on how we use it. That's why we even challenge God. And we can say, I challenge you. I hate you. But God says, I love you. That's the good news. That despite of the rebellion, despite of the rejection, God loves you. Say to your neighbor, God loves you. So we are free moral agents. We can decide what to do. We're not robots. I remember when I used to break dance and do this. We are not robots, like we jump and obey. We have the capacity to decide, right? So, and that's the power that we have. We are not like angels who are heavenly bound, always bound to do good. We are not like falling angels in hell, bound to do evil, always bound to do evil. We have this freedom to do good and evil. And that's what God wants us to exercise this gift and be good stewards of this gift of free will and free choice. And if we do that, God will bless us. And this is the power of God, that when Adam sinned at the beginning of creation, Genesis 3, he lost the power for eternal life. And then Jesus, the second Adam, came back, was born from Mary, from a woman, and now he's coming back again, and he now is giving us back this powerful gift of free eternal life. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. So that's the resurrection. It's not a historical event. It's a powerful event, and the understanding that even though if you go back 6,000 years of history, this idea of the soul is eternal is not a new concept. We have believed that, the eternal state of the soul. What makes us different in the Jewish tradition and now in the Christian tradition is that God is aiming not only for our souls, but also for our body. When Jesus came back from the dead, when the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, became flesh and took this incarnate state, not only for a season, not only for a passing phase, but for an eternal, permanent phase, because right now he has a body. He actually, God vindicated Christ saying, the body is important. Your body is important. Your body is the temple of the spirit. The body can be free from this decay and disease and disability. The body can be glorious and powerful and eternal. Why? Supernatural. Why? Because Jesus came back from the dead. And now we have this glorious body and the promise that even though you don't like this body because you have a belly, I don't care. God is going to give you a new body with no belly. Hallelujah. Right? Eternal, healthy, forever. You don't have to watch what you eat anymore. Nobody cares. You are so happy and you are so immersed in God's presence that you are going to celebrate his life. Now, the second thing is the women discovery This is so powerful. That's why in St. John, here in St. John, we believe in the ministry of women. We believe that women are awesome. We believe that without women, there is nothing. We are lost. We are lost. Why? Because God is so smart that he trusted the good news to women first. Hello? And then we are here saying, women cannot teach, women cannot do this. Wake up. Women are teaching us in the moment we are born. And now God is saying, guess what? I'm going to trust the message of the gospel to women first. And they went and preached the gospel first to the apostles. And they came back to testify that God is awesome, he's powerful. So this idea that even the testimony of women is a highlight that the testimony of the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus is true. Why? Because in ancient time, the testimony of women, they didn't value the testimony of women. So if someone is lying and trying to convince the world that this actually happened, they will tie the testimony to men, not to women. So this highlights this truth in the story of the event. It's so powerful because it reveals that these people are not trying to hide anything. They are actually telling the truth. It's a true account. That's why we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we have all of that, not as a contradiction, but as a four ways to tell the stories, right? If my daughter is born and we're going to celebrate her birthday, I will tell the story how that day went. My wife will do the same. Brothers and sisters will do the same. And by the time you gather everyone's testimony, now you have a full account of the birthday. It's not a contradiction. It's just that we all look at it from different angles. Does that make sense? And when we see that, we have also non-biblical accounts, historians and people who wrote about the resurrection of Jesus outside of the scriptures. It's powerful to understand this, that this is a true historical account. Then the transformation of the 12, that's one of the evidence that the resurrection actually happened, right? That these men, some of them never went to school, some of them were fishermen and other things, and God used them, and they have fear. They were fearful. They were hiding, and then they received this power in the Holy Spirit, and now they are bold, and now they are telling the story, the historical impact of Christianity from 2,000 years ago to now. That's a testimony also. The evidence, the life evidence that God is real. The tomb is empty. And I say this every year. Say with me, the tomb is empty. That's powerful. Every year I say to you that the only place where people travel, pay $2,000 in a plane ticket to go and see nothing is to Israel. Okay? Every time you pay, you go to see something. Well, people are paying around the world, 5 continents, to see. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. That's another testimony that God is actually on the move and he is telling the truth. So here are the actions that we want all of us to take. Living in the resurrection power of Jesus. This understanding that now I have power over sin and death. That death cannot hold me back. That God loves me. That now I am not only alive, but I can reject sin. I have that power to do that. And my hope is that here at St. John, we identify ourselves with our identity in Christ. Some people go around saying, I'm a sinner. Stop identifying yourselves with sin. Identify yourself with Christ. Because what Romans says, that now that we are in Christ, he has made us righteous. Now, holiness is Christ in us. And despite we sin, then God redeems us and our sins are forgiven. And I've been sharing with you this idea that when you are broken without Jesus, you have no power over sin. And therefore, you start planning to sin. Someone without Christ can plan to sin. Someone in Christ cannot. So if I am not in Christ, I can say, next Saturday, the prospect will know that this is Saturday and I'm going to get drunk and have a big party. Hallelujah. You can do that and plan it, and then Saturday night shows comes. boat and you party and you dance and you get drunk. If you are in Christ, you cannot do that. You cannot plan to sin. If you see a woman that is beautiful and you cannot say, and you say, let me see, I'm going to send her a text, then flowers, then I'm going to invite her out, then I'm going to rent a hotel in south, at the south of the city, no one knows, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to sleep with her. If you do that planning, you are dead. Because you, as a believer, you cannot plan to sin. The power of God, the conviction of the world, will help you to reject those plans. What happens to you, Pastor, then, when we know that people who are believers fall in adultery? Why? They fall. It means you were not planning. It happened. You didn't plan it. It happened. You were weak. It happened. But then, if you repent, you walk away, God forgive you. Hello? If you stop sinning and you turn around, God forgive you. That's the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. And as we reflect that, let's live in this life powerful resurrection that now we can say no to sin, no to death, because Jesus is alive and he died for us on the cross. Embrace this new life in Christ. Go out, do good. Allow God to flow through you and heal people, touch people, bless people, love people. And as we do that, God will bless us. He will provide us with this powerful victory that now we can transfer that to others. Being a witness, this is a challenge. Every time we celebrate communion, every time we preach the gospel, every time we come and celebrate Easter, it's a testimony that now, the same way we have this early testimony of the early Christians, now we have to do the same. It's our time now to carry the mantle to the next generation. So in the next years to come, we have people believing in Christ. It's now our responsibility to share the gospel with others. So if you feel fear or shame, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you help me to share the good news with people? And he will. And you don't have to force yourself and put yourself in a situation to preach the gospel. Just ask him, will you give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone today? I'm telling you, he's going to show up and it will happen. And then you will rejoice because you walk away from that experience regardless of what people did. If they receive Christ or not, that's not your job. Your job is to open your mouth. Believing or not believing, that's the Holy Spirit and the person. You are not responsible for how many people come to Christ. You are not responsible for how many people decide to be baptized. You are responsible for sharing the gospel and then let the Holy Spirit work and do his part. If you do that, you're going to see salvation. In fact, you go back to the book of Acts, there is no sermons to unbelievers. All the sermons are to the church. Why? Because people used to come to the church after someone in the church shared the gospel with them. When they show up in the church, they were already believers. Hello? There is only one sermon in Pentecost, Acts 2, is preached to everybody. Everything else, to the church, to the church, to the church, to the church, to the church. So if you go out and you present the gospel to your neighbor, to your friend, to your coworker, and he says, or she says, I receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, forgive me of my sin, I believe it, amen. When this person comes, she or he is already part of the body. Wow. This idea of waiting for the pastor to preach the gospel is nonsense. We are all called to preach the gospel. We are all people of Easter. We are all people of the resurrection. We are all believing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to do it. And that's being a witness. And my hope is that we start witnessing like never before. Fourth and last one, life as a resurrection people. That's the life that God is calling us, not as a historical event, not as a past event, but living in the joy, the hope, and the power of Christ's victory. Rejoice. Don't be a sad Christian. I'm telling you, I'm the happiest Christian ever. I don't care. I'm always rejoicing and dancing and listening to music. When I die, I'm not going to be like, I'm dying. I thank Jesus because I never leave. I never went. I never rejoice. I never laugh. I never dance. I never did anything. Because we have made religion a set of rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. In fact, do not leave. That's what people say, don't have a life. That's not what Christ is saying. It's life and life abundantly. You're supposed to enjoy. You're supposed to go out and enjoy creation like no one else. You're supposed to go out and be happy. And when something bad happens, in you receive it, you cry, but then you do this, take a breath, and say, God is with me, it's going to be fine. The same way Jesus was crucified on Friday and we were crying, now today is Sunday and we are rejoicing, so we know that a better day is coming. Nothing can stop one who believes that Christ is alive. He's not among the dead, he's among us, and he's alive. Wow, hallelujah. So let's close this sermon with this powerful quote from St. Augustine. 1, 2, 3. Let's pray. Let's pray and prepare ourselves for baptism. Risen Lord, today we rejoice in your victory over death. The tomb is empty and you are alive. Thank you for the gift of new life, for the hope that never fades, for the promise that we too will rise with you one day. Fill our hearts with resurrection joy and give us boldness to share his good news. Let us walk in the power of your Spirit, reflecting your love and grace to the world. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So let's prepare ourselves and invite those who are coming to the waters to come forward. And today we're going to have 4 baptisms. 2 baptisms are actually a remembrance, remembering your baptism. Remember that when we are baptized as a child, then when our children grow up and they have a conscience, now they have the ability to decide for themselves, to affirm what their parents did. Now it's not anymore my parents' faith, now it's my faith. Amen? And then we have 2 who are going to be baptized for the first time. Hallelujah? So this is good. Let's get ready. Weeks with us, and we were teaching them about the Apostles' Creed and the core truth of our faith. So I'm going to ask 3 questions to affirm their faith before we baptize him. Are you ready? Yes. Will, do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who died on the cross for us and in his coming back again?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church? Do you believe in eternal life, the forgiveness of sins?
Yes.
With the power invested in me by the Church of Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes. Hallelujah. I visit Bryson's house and he jumps on pools like crazy, so I'm hopeful that he's not going to do it right here. Full of energy. Are you ready? Do you believe in God Almighty, our Father, creator of heaven on earth?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who was crucified, died on the cross, but he's coming back again?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and in the Church of God, but also the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body?
Yes.
With the power invested in me by the Church of Christ, I baptize you the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. Power invested in me, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you put it together for the women in this house? Come on. Yes. Are you ready? Do you believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ,
yes,
our Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Who died for our sins and is coming back again?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Universal Church?
Yes.
The forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body?
Yes.
With the power invested in me by the Church of Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Powerful, 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 powerful. So my hope is that we continue celebrating baptisms and coming together to celebrate new life in the church. And as we prepare ourselves for worship and give them some time to come back and present them before the church. Amen.
Everybody, please rise for our final song.
I was buried beneath my shame. Breathing, but not.
righty. You guys can have a seat real quick. We're still waiting on us, a couple of them to get changed here. But I want to show you what we're going to be presenting each of our confirmands with. Each one of our confirmands will be getting their own student study Bible. It's one of the things that we think is really, really important for their spiritual growth is to be in the Word of God and to study it to, as Scripture says, hide it in their heart. So that is one, probably the most important thing that we give them. One of the other things that we give them is these are prayer crosses with wood from Israel. And it's just really small, and so you're able to put it in your pocket. You're able to take it with you, pull it out. Whenever you need prayer, just remember that Christ paid it all on the cross. And so it's a really cool thing. And then the final one is just kind of a fun little gift that we have for them, which is a little keychain. And on it, it might be hard for you guys to see, but it has a G. And then a couple of symbols here, which stand for God is greater than your highs and lows. And it's just a great reminder that in the midst of anything that you go through in life, God is greater than it all. So there's just some great reminders. And then, of course, they get a certificate of their baptism and confirmation. So I'm going to have them come in, and then Pastor Osmar, if you'll come up and pray over our confirmands, and we'll give them their gifts. So come on in, guys. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? All the way to the Osmar.
Seminary is here, and Asbury University is right here. It's a little road between those two institutions. But for some reason, don't ask me why, God decided to cross the street, cross over, and pass over the scholars, the good, you know, the doctors and the masters, and go to the youth to show himself. So we need to trust the youth more, because if God is trusting a revival to the youth and was led by the youth, we need to do more as a church to believe that they can do more. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's do this. Stand your hands over here like we do around the world to pray for them. Loving Father, we come before you and we ask now, the same way when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were open and you declare, this is my son, who am I now pleased? We know that you are pleased with these children, these youth. Bless them, Lord. I declare open heavens wherever they go, that they will know and they know deep in their hearts, regardless what they hear, regardless what they experience, that they are loved by you, that you are their father and you love them. So I plead the blood of Jesus upon them, and I plead the blood of Jesus upon their mind, their soul, their spirit, when they go back to school, when they go back into the world, that they go marked by you, remembering this day from this day forward. But not only that, that they will be witness, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and share the gospel with many. And when they grow up and they have families, they will pass down this powerful tradition, gift, and faith to their children and their children's children. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Go to your parents. God bless you, Mr. Friend. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. You have announcements? We're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Go.
Well, church, it's been Easter, and it's been a joy to worship with you, to see our baptisms, to celebrate the bringing in of new life into the body of Christ. If I just have a quick moment of your time, I want to share just a few announcements. First, if it's your first time here at St. John Community Church, my name is Stephen. I'm one of the ministers. We're just so glad and so happy that you're here. You'll see a connect card in the pew in front of you or the chair in front of you. Feel free to fill that out. Give it to any one of us with a lanyard. We'd love to connect with you this week or in the weeks to come and just help you continue to grow in your faith journey. Two, next week, we have a really big, important meeting. It's going to be right after church at 1:15. So not right after church, but 1:15. And it's open to anybody who is interested in the next steps for St. John Community Church and how we move forward to share the gospel with our community and to see God work in big ways. So if you're interested in being a part of that, come and show up. We're going to be talking about what's next, where we're going, what teams we need, what help we need, and it's going to be a really exciting time. So we want to invite you to come next Sunday, the 27th, at 1:15, right here in the sanctuary as we move forward. Also, just a quick reminder to you that we have a couple of really big Sundays coming up in May. The 11th, Mother's Day, we're going to have a drive-through reset Sunday where you just drive through at 9:30. We'll pray over you, serve communion, have an opportunity to give flowers to the mothers. And then on the 18th, we come back for Covenant Sunday, a chance for us to come together to recommit to what God is going to do at St. John Community Church moving forward and to start the new season. Give glory for what God has done in the past and anticipate the greater glory that God is going to do in the future. So, Yosmar, will you come and do the benediction and help us be blessed on our way out today?
Yes. Well, don't go that fast. Come back. Can you come here, my friend? So, can we pray for Stephen and Angel? They are going on vacation finally, and they have worked so hard. You know, Stephen have led us so well, holding the church, holding the congregation, holding the sheep, basically for a good season in this a very hard season of the church, and now they get to go and come back refreshed in the name of Jesus, ready for what is next. So can you just extend your hands one more time and let's send them off into Sabbath, that they actually do not look at your phone. that, you know, that he actually has a Sabbath, okay? Loving Father, thank you for these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful believers and disciples. They are passionate spiritual disciples. I pray, Father, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon them one more time and give them rest. Give them the freedom to rest, that you have the church in your hand. It's your bride. Nothing will be missing. When they come back, everything and everyone will be here. We are yours. We belong to you. Let them rest in you, that you are still the head of the church. So they can go and relax and love each other, think, pray about the future, share their burdens with you, being restored. We pray for your presence upon them now and forever. And when they come back, we are ready to receive them for the next season of St. John Community Church. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We love you. Okay, well, I'm not going to read all of that. Go in peace.